Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 17 May 2026, Romans.
All right, before we get started, we have two birthdays. Tomorrow, Melissa's birthday on Monday. Happy birthday, Melissa. And yesterday was Ryan's birthday, and Ryan said, "Dave, the flower is beautiful, and the colors matches his eyes." So happy birthday, Ryan. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you for the privilege we have this morning of fellowshipping with you through the study of your word. And as we do so, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. All right, well, we have the update on the Valencia Senior Living Center. Jerry Cahoon is conducting the Heaven Special there. This is Thursday, May 14th. We had three men today. Now, at the other one, it's all women. This one's all men. We had three men today, Bob, Charlie, and a new fella named Harvey. Was he a rabbit? You got to know black and white TV to know that one. We started lesson two again. Pastor was teaching about the three heavens and all three members of the Trinity who live there. They all enjoyed the class, and after it was over, Bob asked me if he could talk to me about something on his mind. I nervously said yes. I don't know where Jerry is. Don't ever be nervous. You have enough Bible doctrine to answer any of these questions. Just step up and declare it. He then says how the Bible says we are created in God's image, but that doesn't mean we're God or like a God. And then you got this angel named Lucifer, who is the most beautiful and powerful angel ever created. How does that jackass think he can be God? I like Bob. I like Bob a lot. I just don't get it. Jerry says, I told him it's called arrogance. And then Bob said, well, then Satan has a lot of that. Because he is a jackass if he thinks he can be God. And God has a place for him that will be perfect for him. It's called the lake of fire. I just thought this guy gets it. It's fun talking to them. Please continue to pray for the MP3 class at Valencia, Jerry Cahoon. All right. We are in the great 3-chapter parenthesis in Romans. Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11 is the great parenthesis. And the beginning of this, well, it's awesome. Romans 9, 1 through 5, we have the sorrow and the pain of the Apostle Paul. Romans 9, 1 through 5. Romans 9, 1 sounds like this. I am communicating the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bearing witness with me by the agency of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. This is the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. There are two very important doctrines in the first verse. The doctrine of the conscience, and we studied that last time, and the doctrine of the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit, and we are in the process of studying that. We noted the first 7 points of the doctrine of the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And the first point, the principle of inspiration is established in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So I want you to turn over there. We'll start with that this morning. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. And in your translations, you probably have it this way, all Scripture is inspired by God. That's probably what you have. That word inspired, that's the key to the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. That word is theopneustos. Looks like that in the Greek. T-H-E-O-P-N-E-U-S-T-O-S. It's a compound word. Theo, that's the Greek word theos, that's God. Pneustos, that's the word breathe. So when you see that word inspired, it literally says God breathed. All Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, all Scripture is God-breathed and profitable for doctrine, didaskalia, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be prepared, thoroughly equipped for every good work, maximum divine good production. So that word inspired is the word that theopneustos, that means God breathed. This verse very simply says that the Scriptures are God produced. God produced. The principle of inspiration is found in the word breathe. Breathing involves inhale and exhale. In the inhale, God the Holy Spirit communicates His complete and coherent message to man, exactly what should be recorded. And we noted that in 2 Samuel 23, 2 and 3, Matthew 22, 41 to 46, Acts 4, 24 and 25, Acts 28, 25. And then in the exhale, man reduces this communication to writing. Point two, the definition of inspiration. God so supernaturally directed the writers of Scripture that without waiving their human intelligence, vocabulary, individuality, literary style, personal feeling, or any other human factor, His complete and coherent message to man was recorded in perfect accuracy in the original languages of Scripture, the very words bearing the authority of divine authorship. Point three, therefore, the origin of Scripture is God, not man. The Scriptures are not man-produced. They're God-produced. The Scriptures are God the Holy Spirit's use of human agencies and language, 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. And since the Scriptures originate from God, who is perfect, then the Bible is absolutely perfect. Point four, therefore the Bible is the absolute criterion for the believer in Jesus Christ. Psalm 138, verse 2, God has magnified His Word over His very name. And that means the Word of God is more important than the very air that you breathe. Psalm 138, verse 2. It is the Word of God, Hebrews 4, 12. It is the mind of Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. It is the voice of the Spirit, Hebrews 3, verse 7. Point five, the Bible existed in eternity past, Proverbs 8, 22 and 23. As the mind of Christ, the Bible existed prior to the time it was reduced to written form. Point six, there was no written scripture until the time of Moses, and that was 1440 BC. Therefore, pre-canon revelation from Adam to Moses, well, it included a lot of different things. It included, first of all, a personal Bible class with the Lord Jesus Christ teaching Adam and the woman in the garden, Genesis chapter 3. It also included God speaking directly, and angels teaching, and through dreams and visions. Point seven, once the canon began to be written, four categories of Old Testament revelation continued in addition to the written scripture. The spoken word, Isaiah 6, 8 through 10. Dreams, which was divine revelation involving a sleeping state, Numbers 12, 6, Genesis 15, 12, Genesis 31, 10 to 13. Visions, which is a wide awake and ecstatic state, Isaiah 1, 1, 6, 1, 1 Kings 22, 19, and of course our Tuesday class in Zechariah, we saw this all the way through chapter 1, verse 7 through chapter 6, verse 15. And angelic teaching. Deuteronomy 33, verse 2, Psalm 68, verse 17, Acts 7:53, Galatians 3:19, and once again, our Tuesday night class in Zechariah. We have seen it many times. That brings us to point 8, and we just got started on point 8, the extent of inspiration. The extent of inspiration, and we noted the first point under that, the unknown past. The extent of inspiration includes the unknown past. The Bible portrays historical statements and details unknown to man and unconfirmed by human records. That's Genesis chapters 1 through 11. The Bible is the only accurate record of human history before records were kept, and of the unknown past before man was here. The universe was created before man. Genesis chapter 1, Isaiah 48, Colossians chapter 1. Angels were created before man. And the fall of Satan occurred before man. Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28. Very few records came through the Noahic flood. But we have the only accurate record of the antediluvian civilization in Genesis chapters 1 through 9, as well as the only accurate record of the post-diluvian civilization from Genesis chapters 9 through 11. So we go on now with the extent of inspiration. We go on with the extent of inspiration. Secondly, records of ancient history. Records of ancient history. Subpoint one, the Bible is not an historical textbook, and yet it is the only accurate book on ancient history. The only accurate book on ancient history. So the Bible is not an historical textbook, but it is the only accurate book on ancient history. 100% accurate. Two, when the Bible makes historical reference, the Bible is always right. Always right. When the Bible makes historical reference, the Bible is always right. 100% right. And three, much of the Old Testament and the Gospels fall into this category. So the extent of inspiration includes the records of ancient history. Third, the extent of inspiration includes objective type law. Objective type law. What does that include? I'm glad you asked. One, the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law given by God to Moses, it contains laws within laws. So the Mosaic law. Secondly, it includes the divine institutions. The divine institutions are the laws of volition and marriage and family and the nation, national entity. Four divine institutions, the law of volition and marriage and family and national entity. Now, Jesus Christ created the divine institution of marriage. And in that divine institution of marriage, it was designed to be a marriage between one man and one woman. Jesus Christ invented marriage. And the divine institution of marriage is between one man and one woman. Not two men, not two women, not a man and a dog. One man and one woman. Homosexuality and lesbianism is a great evil. And what is God's attitude toward homosexuality and lesbianism? Well, the Sodom and Gomorrah That was the characteristic of Sodom and Gomorrah. And God wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. We right now in America are becoming a Sodom and Gomorrah in the United States of America. And the same thing will happen to this nation as a client nation to God. It is totally 100% evil, wrong, contrary to the holiness of God. God is absolute righteousness and perfect justice. God declares what is right and what is wrong. We have become so degenerate and so apostate in this country that we are becoming a modern-day Sodom and Gomorrah. The divine institution, marriage, was created by Jesus Christ between one man and one woman. And the family, and the national entity, and volition. Three, inspiration of Scripture guarantees that these are divine laws. Inspiration of Scripture guarantees that these are divine laws. These laws are from God. Not from the liberals, not from the communists, not from the socialists. These laws are from God. Absolute truth from God. So inspiration of Scripture guarantees that these are divine laws. For it is to man's benefit that they follow God's laws in His Word and execute God's laws in His Word. It is to man's benefit that God's laws in the Word of God are followed and executed. Five, these laws perfectly express the essence of God and God's will for mankind. These laws perfectly express the essence of God, who and what God is, His absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and God's will and plan for mankind. Six. The repetition of these laws in other scripture demonstrates their application to every generation in human history. The repetition of these laws in other scripture demonstrates their application to every generation in human history. The extent of inspiration also includes dictation and prophecy. Dictation and prophecy. That is one. Dictation includes the Ten Commandments, dictated by God and transcribed by Moses. So dictation includes the Ten Commandments, dictated by God and transcribed by Moses. And secondly, in prophecy, God made known future events which man had no way of foreseeing or understanding at the time of their revelation. In prophecy, God made known future events which man had no way of foreseeing or understanding at the time of their revelation. Three, even as history was the fulfillment of the prophecies of the past, even as history was the fulfillment of the prophecies of the past, so will the prophecies of the tribulation period, we're living in the church age, following the rapture, the resurrection of the church, the royal family of God, we have the 7-year tribulation period. And then the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth. And then the millennial kingdom will be established and Jesus Christ rule planet earth for 1,000 years. So, even as history was the fulfillment of the prophecies of the past, so will the prophecies of the tribulation period, the second advent of Christ, and the millennial kingdom be fulfilled. And the extent of inspiration also includes what has often been called devotional literature. Devotional literature. Now, what parts of the Bible are devotional literature? That's the Psalms. Actually, the Psalms were a hymn book. Hymn book, and that's what they sang. The Psalms, the Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Job are included in the devotional literature. The Psalms, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes, and Job. And God uses the problems, the pressures, the prosperity, and the successes, as well as the failures of certain believers, to reveal His plan and His principles of grace. So God uses the problems, the pressures, the prosperity, and the successes, as well as the failures of certain believers, to reveal His plan and His principles of grace. And sixth, the extent of inspiration includes the recording of falsehoods, the recording of lies. So let's amplify that. Now, God doesn't lie, but man has lied. Satan lies, and they are accurately presented. Those lies of Satan are accurately presented. The lies of certain men accurately presented. So the record of human or satanic lies in the text of Scripture does not imply that lies are truth. Does not imply that these falsehoods are truth. So the record of human or satanic lies in the text of Scripture does not imply that falsehoods or lies are truth. Two, however, inspiration guarantees the accuracy of the lie. Inspiration guarantees the accuracy of the lie. Like Bob said, when Satan said, "I will be like the Most High God," that's a lie. That comes from a jackass called Satan. But it's accurately presented there. That's exactly what he said, and it's a total lie. So two, however, inspiration guarantees the accuracy of the lie. Inspiration guarantees the accuracy of the lie. Three, The devil's conversation with the woman in the garden in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. The devil's conversation with the woman, Isha, in the garden, Genesis 3, 1 through 5, this is exactly what the devil said. But it was not all truth. Exactly what the devil said, but it was not all truth. For the book of Ecclesiastes has many erroneous concepts. The book of Ecclesiastes has many erroneous concepts, and God did not approve of these concepts. Yet the book accurately describes the thoughts of Solomon when he was out of fellowship with God. So the extent of inspiration includes recording of falsehoods or lies. Now that brings us to point 9, false views of inspiration. And there's many, many of them out there, unfortunately. Well, we had Bob Wilkin here the last time he was here, and he taught about current issues in inerrancy, and he had a book, Current Issues in Inerrancy, and it was fantastic. He always gives me a list of possible topics, and I wanted this one because I knew where we were going. And so he taught on that, and he pointed out that many seminaries today, it's hard to find a seminary in our country today where you, if you have the gift of pastor-teacher, that you can go and prepare for the ministry. There's just so much garbage at those seminaries. And so we have the false views of inspiration. There are a lot of them. First of all, the natural inspiration. In other words, God had nothing to do with the Bible. This was just simply written by men, and God had nothing to do with it. That it was merely men who wrote the Bible. Obviously, that's the natural inspiration. That's totally false. Secondly, there is the mystical or illumination view. And that is, any believer can write Scripture, and Scripture can still be written today by any believer who is filled with the Spirit. That's the mystical illumination view. Third, there is the degrees of inspiration view. Degrees of inspiration view. And these people say some parts of the Bible are more inspired than other parts of the Bible. These are all false views. There's a lot of them out there. Degrees of inspiration view. Some parts of the Bible are more inspired than other parts of the Bible. Fourth false view. Dictation. That the writers, human writers, were completely passive, and God simply dictated to them what was to be recorded. The dictation view. These are all false views of inspiration. Five, partial inspiration view. Partial inspiration view. Only certain parts of the Bible are inspired. Bible doctrine inspired, but anything about science or history, that's not inspired. So a partial inspiration. Only certain parts of the Bible are inspired. Six, false view. Concept inspiration. And that says only the concepts are inspired, but not the very words. Not the very words. Only the concepts are inspired. Concept inspiration. And a seventh false system, neo-orthodox or Barthian view. We could call it the Barthian view. Okay, too early for you. Neo-orthodox or Barthian view. And they say that the Bible is full of errors. The Bible is full of errors, a fallible product of fallible writers, but in a fallible way, it points to Christ. Oh, that had to be very hard for them to get that last line in there. Say the Bible is full of errors, fallible product of fallible writers, but in a fallible way, it does point to Christ. Now, what is the correct view? What's the correct view of inspiration? It's called the verbal plenary. Verbal plenary. Verbal plenary means each word and every part of every word, every letter and every part of every letter is God-breathed. So the correct view of inspiration is verbal plenary, each word, every part of every word, every letter of every word, every part of every letter. And of course, in the original languages. And that's why, if you have the gift of pastor teacher, you need to prepare for the ministry. And that means you need to learn the original languages. Hebrew, Aramaic for the Old Testament, Koine Greek in the New Testament. That's where you have the God-breathed scriptures. Every word, every letter, every part of every word is God-breathed. Now, turn over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, verse 18. If you have a red letter edition, you'll notice that Jesus Christ is holding Bible class. The Lord Jesus Christ is holding Bible class, and he says in verse 18, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear. Now, in the one I'm reading from, NIV here, Ryrie Study Bible says, not the smallest letter, and I got to show you the smallest letter. What was he referring to when he said smallest letter? Well, let's look at... All right, there you see, this is the word Jehovah, the holiest name for God in the Old Testament scriptures. In the Hebrew, the smallest letter is that right there, and that's called the Yod. The Yod. So he says here, not the smallest letter, the Yod, not the least stroke of a pen. Well, the least stroke of a pen. That's a daleth. That's a resh. The only way you can tell a daleth from a resh is this right here. And the King James calls that a tittle. The smallest letter or tittle. That's the only way you can tell a D from an R in the Hebrew, is that tittle. And Jesus Christ says, I tell you the truth. Until heaven and earth disappear, pass away, not the smallest letter, a yod, not the least stroke of a pen, a tittle, will by any means disappear from the law, the Word of God, until everything is accomplished. Matthew 5:18. Correct view of inspiration. Verbal plenary. So, Romans 9:1. I am communicating the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. In Christ, I am not lying. My conscience bearing witness with me by the agency of the Holy Spirit, that is the inspiration ministry of God the Holy Spirit. All right, we'll take a break. And we'll see you in about 15 minutes for part 2.